Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Best of my good evening, it's 5:30. This is update for Thursday, 17th of December 2020 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. A background to the news, sport, business, Sea Watch, travel updates, the newsmakers in person, no new cases of COVID-19. So three in non-community isolation and one in nobles. The vaccines arrive, first jab next Monday, but one MHK wants to know why the delay. Will Brexit affect EU national status in the Isle of Man? Port Erin commissioners want to know why the government's getting involved in the cosy nook. And of course, it's been another flume-free Thursday at the NSC.
Man Benham Advocates, for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes before 6, the update news headlines. First of my, Alex Watton.
First of my, two trays of 975 doses of the COVID-19 vaccine have been delivered to the island. Chief Minister Howard Quayle announced the details at today's coronavirus media conference. It's a double dose jab. It means that 975 people will be able to get both doses over a 21-day period. Mr. Quayle says they can concurrently place an order for one tray per week. He says they've ordered a third tray and will order a fourth next week. Meanwhile, an MHK wants to know why people travelling off-island for medical treatment are not at the top of the COVID vaccine rollout list. Middle member Bill Shimmons is to ask an urgent question to the Health Minister in tomorrow afternoon's House of Keys sitting. News from off-island, and 7 in 10 people in England will be living under Tier 3 restrictions from Saturday after the UK Health Secretary warned it was necessary to reduce infection rates. Matt Hancock says the coronavirus is spreading fastest in southern and eastern England. The number of positive coronavirus cases in the UK hit more than 35,000 today, which includes about 11,000 positive cases missed from official figures. Another 532 deaths have been registered compared to 612 the day before. And pupils in many secondary schools in England won't be going straight back to the classroom after the Christmas holidays. Their return will be staggered. Those are the headlines. News in full at 6.
Enter the Man Benham Advent Calendar Draw. Just visit us on Facebook and answer the question. Man Benham, here for you this Christmas. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
The Matrix signs on the mountain are showing fog patches, so do take care. And Ben McCree is in the Ronalds Way Met Office. Indicates out in the North Irish Sea, strong winds and gales, showers, then heavy rain on the Isle of Man on a fresh southwesterly, backing southerly, increasing to strong later, dry overnight and 11 degrees, the overnight minimum temperature. Jahenya, Friday, a dry start, then intermittent rain tomorrow on a strong southerly, daytime maximum 12 degrees, down to 8 through the night. And Saturday, Jasan, sunshine and showers, top temperature 10 Celsius. Low water this evening, 22 minutes to 8. High water overnight, 21, 9 minutes past 1. Low water tomorrow morning, 9 minutes to 8. Sunrise, 26 minutes to 9. And the afternoon high tide tomorrow, 9 minutes to 2.
Season's greetings to all our customers from everyone at Manx Glass and Glazing. And thank you for your custom and support throughout the year.
The Isle of Man's received its first batch of the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine. It's hoped the first person can get the jab as soon as Monday. Chief Minister Howard Quayle gave more details at this afternoon's media conference.
The delivery consisted of two trays, each one containing 975 doses. Getting two trays was crucial for us to be able to begin the vaccination programme. Two doses are required for the vaccine to be effective. The second dose needs to be given 21 days after the first. As we have to defrost each tray in its entirety, all 975 doses, which must be used within 5 days, we needed the second tray in our possession so that we could be absolutely certain we could provide the second dose at the right time. This means that for any Pfizer jab given throughout the vaccination process, we will always need to be in a position of having the second dose in our possession and on ice ready to administer in 3 weeks' time. We receive our vaccine on a per capita basis through the NHS supply chain. At the moment, we can place an order once a week as batches of the vaccine are released for drawdown. We have ordered our third tray and hope to be in a position to order our fourth tray next week. When this arrives, it means we will have that all-important second dose and we will be able to vaccinate a further 975 people. The first phase of the vaccination will focus on health and care staff, care home residents and workers, and the over 80s. This protects those most vulnerable and our health and care professionals who we rely on to keep our care systems operating smoothly. As I said last week, our aim has been to vaccinate next week or at the latest the 4th of January. At the moment, we are on track to achieve this. It is vital that we do things properly, not quickly. Unlike our neighbours who have commenced vaccinating, we have no community transmission here on the Isle of Man. Administering a vaccine en masse is a complex logistical exercise that requires thorough planning.
Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, investing in our people and technology.
Look ahead with hope. The message from the Lord Bishop of Soda and Man as he sent out a Christmas message today. Peter Eagle says we're turning a corner in our response to the coronavirus as vaccination programs begin to be rolled out. Those separated from loved ones over the festive period have been told to be thankful for the situation the island currently finds itself in. He spoke to our local Democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
Be thankful for the good things we've received this year, for the fact that we have been blessed and by and large have been kept safe. Be thankful and grateful for that, perhaps as you look back. And as you look forward, I would say be courageous and hopeful. We know that we are turning a corner. We have many good things to look forward to. As a community, we've been strengthened by this experience. We can be courageous, confident, and hopeful for the future. So those are my two thoughts. Look back with gratitude and thankfulness. Look ahead with courage, confidence, and hope.
There are a lot of people still separated from loved ones over the festive period who may be across in the UK or even further afield. And that could be an incredibly tough time for them.
That is difficult, absolutely so. And I think, you know, we have to face the fact that in making our way through this crisis, clearly there is a cost to that, there is a price to pay. And that's made manifest in a number of different ways. Certainly the fact that many people won't be able to have family members with them over Christmas. That's really tough, that is very tough. But at the same time, we can give thanks that we are safe, that we're able to keep Christmas as we can, that today we've been able to have our carol service here in church, singing without face masks and sitting next to each other. And those really are things to be thankful for.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Ben McCree left Heysham at 11 minutes past 2. She arrived at about 5:30, is now on the link span, and will be departing this evening at 7:45, arriving in Heysham at about 11:30, departing at 02:15 tomorrow morning, and back in Douglas at about 6 o'clock, 7 days a week. The Ben McCree handling the service to and from Heysham.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
Good evening, it's 21 minutes before 6. I'm Andy Winton. Thank you for joining me on the final update of 2020. Middle MHK Bill Shimmins will ask an urgent question in the House of Keys tomorrow. He thinks the vaccine coming to the Isle of Man has been delayed and wants to know why.
I mean, it's great the vaccine has arrived. I think we all welcome that. The issues that I'm raising is that Guernsey and Jersey both received their first tranches of the vaccine last week. And why is the Isle of Man lagging behind? Is it true that we were offered the vaccine from the United Kingdom last week, but we said no because the Department of Health simply had not got its act together?
And the prioritisation list, what's your concern there?
So broadly, the prioritisation list follows the established list, which has been put together by a committee of health professionals in the United Kingdom. So broadly, I think that makes sense. But some of my constituents have to travel to hospitals in the Northwest for treatment. And these are seriously unwell people. The procedures that that they need cannot be delivered here. And they're very concerned about catching COVID-19 as they're already very ill. And in some cases, hospitals, they're going to have COVID infections. So they are questioning why they are not listed as a separate category on the priority list. And arguably, it seems that they are at higher risk of infection from COVID-19 than a resident in one of the Isle of Man care homes, for example.
And there have been cases where Manx patients have come back to the island with COVID-19.
Sadly, they have. So that is a very real risk. And so the question that I have for David Ashford is, what consideration was given to putting these people at the top priority list in addition to the residents, the care homes and all NHS and care staff?
Manx Radio's business briefing.
At 19 minutes before six, BA has cancelled services to over 15 long-haul destinations next year as a result of plummeting passenger numbers because of the pandemic. Routes to Pittsburgh, Calgary and Charleston in North America have gone, alongside flights to Seoul in South Korea, Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia and Osaka in Japan. The Seychelles has gone, and in the Gulf, Muscat, Jeddah and Abu Dhabi routes all go, and BA's temporarily suspending flights to Sydney, Bangkok and San Jose next summer. Anyone booked on a cancelled flight will get a full refund. Like the rest of the airlines, the pandemic's meant global travel restrictions had forced BA to operate a reduced timetable. BA says the pandemic's hit it harder than anything ever before, its losses outstripping the financial crisis of 2008 and the 9/11 terror attacks in New York in 2011. BA's losses totaled almost £4 billion in the first half of this year. And after years of unfashionability, sherry has made a comeback, with sales up 17.6% in the 12 weeks to the 5th of December, according to the market researchers Nielsen. Demand's increased across the ages, from young to old alike, and in the British Isles, the co-op said it sold an extra 44,000 litres of sherry this year, sales up 70% on last year. Apparently, it's the introduction of the more stylish sherries that's caught the eye of the younger generation, who are experimenting more at home to recreate their favourite drinks. Retail analysts say the renewed interest in sherry began during the first coronavirus lockdown, when people started trying different tipples and even mixing their own cocktails.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed higher as traders reacted positively to comments from the US Fed it'll continue to support the American economy. The dollar fell, oil rose and gold rose as the dollar index extended its slide on progress with the US stimulus plans. In corporate news, WPP, the advertising people, rallied after saying it had increased its dividend next year and restart share buybacks as the world's biggest advertising company by sales set out plans for growth. On the downside, Vodafone, United Utilities and British American Tobacco all fell as their stocks went ex-dividend. At the close in London, the FTSE 100 was down a third of a percent at 6,551. The DAX in Frankfurt closed three quarters of a percent up at 13,667. In New York City at 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial up a third of a percent at 30,266. The Nasdaq Tech Stocks Index up half a percent at 12,721. And the S&P 500 in Chicago up four-tenths of a percent at 3,715. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 35.9 cents and €1 10 cents. And the British pound is also worth 19 South African rand and 95 cents. Finally, in commodities, gold up 1.25% at $1,887 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil up almost four-tenths of a percent at $51.34.
With uncertainty impacting global stock markets, you might think it's not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer great opportunities to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment with Ramsay Crookall, your investment specialists. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
And if you are listening to this update as a podcast, thank you for being part of the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. You're very much welcome to update. New rules for those originally from EU countries but now living and working in the Isle of Man will come into force on the 1st of January after the Brexit transition period ends. Maria Brightson's an immigration specialist at Brightson Halsall Advocates and explains what this means for those already here and those who could arrive in the future.
The ones who are already here, they will have the opportunity to apply for a permanent status to remain in the Isle of Man. And most of those people have already taken steps to make those applications. Anyone who arrives from the 1st of January afterwards, we've ended the transition period. And so the free movement of EU national ends. And those people will need to apply for a visa if they want to work in the Isle of Man.
So how is this going to affect then workers who do want to come to the Isle of Man in the future? Could it be quite difficult for them to get that visa?
The application process isn't difficult, but it is something that both applicants and their employers are going to need to think about and to plan. So whereas before, individuals could come to the Isle of Man, they could visit a recruitment agency, they could maybe see an advert in a shop window and just walk in and be employed fairly quickly, subject only to a work permit. The process will be different now. There are advertising requirements before the jobs are advertised, and that's to show that there's no settled workers available to fill those roles. But then additionally, and probably most importantly, is that the applicant is going to have to apply from their home country for what's known as a worker migrant visa.
Now, you mentioned that most workers already on the Isle of Man have already gone through the regime that they need to. Most but not all. What happens if you don't do it in time?
So for those people, there's a grace period through until the 30th of June 2021, within which they can register for either settled status or pre-settled status. So the actual deadline doesn't get cut off at the 1st of January. People still have time to apply for that.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, crowds braved the wet and windy conditions last night to watch some of the island's cream of the crop footballers go head to head at the Bowl in Douglas. Isle of Man FA's national team met new club FC Isle of Man for what turned out to be a fantastically exciting match, all in aid of the Craig Hartstrong Foundation. FA were the ones to go ahead first, with Sean Doyle scoring the opening goal of the game just 8 minutes in. It was levelled at 40 minutes with a sensational goal from Chris Bash Jr., who spotted FA keeper Nathan Tear off his line and sent the ball high into the sky from 35 yards out, which dropped perfectly into the back of the net. Half-time scores on the doors saw each club with 1 point apiece. Isle of Man FA were the first ones again to score in the second half, with Kieran McNulty taking the national side ahead 2-1, but that was where the goals ended for FA. The same, however, cannot be said for FC Isle of Man. In the 69th minute, Steve Whitley levelled the game 2-2, and it wasn't long before more goals for FC Isle of Man came pouring in. Two goals in 2 minutes soon followed, the first by Cardi, who took FC Isle of Man ahead, and Steve Whitley again scored himself his second goal of the game in the last 9 minutes of the match. Despite a central free kick right on the edge of the box, the national side just couldn't change the score. Full-time saw Ravens win 4-2 in a game full to the brim with commitment and entertainment from both sides. In tennis now, and Mikhaila Dushanova and Ray Roberts were crowned Tuesday evening's Christmas American Tournament winners. Another series will be held in the early part of 2021. They'll be held on Tuesdays. A full list of dates can be found on this story at manxradio.com on our sports page. Sticking with tennis now from further afield, and the Australian Open tennis tournament has been delayed by 3 weeks because of the pandemic. The first Grand Slam of the year will now start on the 8th of February. And Russia should find out today whether it can compete at next year's postponed Tokyo Olympics and the 2022 World Cup. The Court of Arbitration for Sport will deliver its verdict on the country's appeal against a 4-year ban from competing in most major sporting events.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
10 to 6 now, one departure, one arrival from Ronald's Way. The 10 to 5 to Liverpool, the Loganair flight left 3 minutes early. If it's back on time, it'll be in at 20 to 7 this evening. I mentioned Ben McCree is in, out this evening at 7.45 on the road. Quarterbridge Road in Douglas still got those 24-hour lights for drainage and curbing work. Also, 24-hour temporary lights in Ballyfeston Road, Port Erin, for the bus stop refurb work. 24-hour lights in King Edward Road in Oncombe. And, of course, those temporary 4-hour lights on Douglas Promenade with narrow lanes and associated waiting and turning restrictions on Lock, Harris, Central and Queen's Promenades. Westlands in Peel's closed for demolition, refurb and extension works. And Station Road in Colby closed for curb replacement and resurfacing. In Peel, those phase closures for water main replacement and sewage infrastructure. Stopping off on East Quay by the Wharf Apartments, Mariner's Wharf to Quayside Restaurant. That's on till the 7th of January, but will be minimised over the Christmas New Year period. All the travel you need, by the way, is at manxradio.com, powered by Millie Chaps of Ramsey, and stop off on the community page for our 18 webcams across the Isle of Man.
Ignite your blue with Toyo Tyres, solely available at Quayside Tyres and Car Service Centre, South Quay Industrial Estate.
Port Erin commissioners are questioning why the Manx government's waited till now to intervene in the demolition of the Cosy Nook after it was protected by a building reservation notice, halting the local authorities' plans to replace the structure. The chairman, Godfrey EG, spoke to Chris Cave.
I have spoken to them, yes, but not in great detail. I think at the moment, the frustrating thing for them and all of us is, shall we say, the late input from the government. Possibly if the Speaker had had more input so many months ago and had some more response to us earlier. I mean, Russian Heritage fed back to us quite a while ago. The frustration now is we have a 4-month freeze on it. We have no feedback from planning, so we can't really even move forward with a motion saying let's look at a redesign or a rescue on the building until we know for certain it is a permanent protection and then the majority of the board support the change.
Putting to one side your own personal feelings on the Cosy Nook, is this not government interfering in local authority matters because you, as a board of commissioners, made a decision that government didn't like?
You could say that, I would say. You could say government's interfering, but in response to that, there is time. It is government effectively when you go through planning, so I don't think it's necessarily out of their remit to make us relook or think about things on certain things, as long as it's not happening too often, to be honest. I can understand in this situation what has triggered it. There is a big outcry against the demolition of the building, so I think in this issue I can understand it. I think maybe our board members can understand it, but I don't think it's something we would want to see across the island for other local authorities regularly, because they should really give us this information at the very beginning when we ask the question.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Back to last night's football match between the Ravens and the Isle of Man FA. Funds raised at the match will ensure life-saving equipment continues to be installed around the Isle of Man. FC Isle of Man's 4-2 win over Isle of Man FA was in aid of Craig's Heartstrong Foundation. The charity's chairman is Paul Healy.
Football is very close to Craig's heart, so it's quite fitting. And I think he would absolutely love what's going on with FC Isle of Man at the moment if he was here today. So yeah, very fitting, and we're very thankful of the FA for doing this for us.
It's a number of years obviously since his sad passing, but the charity just seems to go from strength to strength.
Yeah, it does, and over £1 million raised now over the years, so we're pretty proud of that, and I'm sure Craig would be as well. I know his mum is. We just keep doing it to keep Craig's memory alive and to try and stop anyone else being in the position that Paul and myself and the family were in.
Tony mentioned it in the preview we did with him, that every ground now on the Isle of Man has a defibrillator.
Yeah, every ground, every sports club, every school. Last time I checked, there was almost 400 defibrillators that we've handed out now in the community. And our main focus now is the public ones. There's about 51, I think, public ones. So we're pushing that. We've got another 10 ready to go out now. So we're just getting planning approval on certain ones, and you'll see that soon.
Where else can you do this at the moment in the world?
Exactly. There's lockdown everywhere, and here we are. You know, I think we've got 250 tickets sold, and then whatever comes in from the gate. So it's going to be a good crowd, and like you say, it's not going to be happening anywhere else around the UK at the moment. So big shout out to Howie and the boys for what they've done, I think.
A fantastic job last night, and congratulations to everyone involved in the effort. I'm Andy Winton. This has been the final update of 2020. Update will be back on Monday, the 4th of January, 2021 at 5:30. Updates available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker and Spotify. Details at manxradio.com or the App Store. An update is compiled from the resources of the biggest newsroom on the Isle of Man, the Manx Radio News Department. Thanks to newsreader Alex Watton, producer Tim Glover. Of course, you can check us out on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and subscribe to the Manx Radio YouTube channel. Have a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and I'll see you in 2021. WMAN.